It's showtime. What up? It's old Kenny here with you for a brand new episode of the Kenny Ho Show. How are ya? I hope all is well. I mean, has anyone ever answered anything other than, oh, I'm good, how about yourself? And if they have, are they the most annoying person on the planet? Because that's how it would roll, right? That's how it would crumble. If I asked them, hey, so how you doing, man? I hope all is well. And they're like, nah, things are horrible. Let me tell you. Let me fill you in on what's going on. I'm like, oh boy. All right, I'm going to endure this. But then immediately after this conversation, I am unfriending this person in my mind. I actually know a girl like this. She's annoying like this. She's like always got a dark cloud over her head. Her and her best friend, these two bitches are so annoying. They're very good looking, and I think that's why they get away with it. Because this place where I just got shit canned, all the guys there, whenever I talk to them, I'm like, hey, how you doing? It's always like, pretty good, can't complain. And one guy is like above and beyond, and I don't think it's bullshit coming from him. I think he's just like honestly happy in life. Because I ask, every time I ask him, hey buddy, how you doing? He's like, my day's going really great. It's been a very good day. I'm like, what the hell? How is this a thing? You must not have mental health issues, because when you have mental health issues, every day sucks. Even if the best thing is happening to you right now, when you have like legendary mental oopsies like me, my mind will find a way to ruin it. It'll find a way to say something, like, make it about something I don't want to make it about and be like, oh, this is why you like it. I'm like, no, I think I like it because, you know, it is for this reason. They're like, nah, it's this other reason that you don't back. So it's just like, oh, so you just ruined this moment for me. But with that being said, outside of the Kenny Ho Show, I just keep that shit to myself. I'm not good. When people are like, oh, so how you doing, buddy? I'm not going to tell them the truth. I'm not going to be like, oh, it's rough. My mind's out of control again. I'm just like, oh, it's great. Everything is good. I have definitely not thought of taking a Q-tip, one of those really long Q-tips, and cramming it up my nose to stick it into my brain and show my mind who's boss, you know? That definitely didn't happen today. But these two girls, oh, always complaining about something. It's like, your life isn't that bad. You two are hot bitches. You listen to what you're... Look at what you're getting away with. You're just bitching the whole time and every freaking guy is listening to you. Every guy is listening to you, hoping that if I tolerate her bullshit, maybe she'll let me do her someday. But then you get to my age with my experience of 30 and you realize these hoes ain't legit. They'll never let you get a piece. They're there, you're there to deal with their problems. And then when the good times roll around, they'll definitely pretend like they don't know you while they're walking around with their older but rich boyfriend. And thankfully, I've learned to cut the cord. One of them, she's dead to me. And the other one, whereas once upon a time, I used to seek these two broads out to talk to them. Now, not a chance. If I see them in the building, they get a hello. Well, one of them. The other one's dead to me. One of them gets the hello, and then I keep moving. In fact, the other day, this girl works like in a completely different part of the building, yet she came to look for me and one of my colleagues that she's also buddies with or whatever. Because I guess she's lonely and she wants attention. I'm like, listen, but you ain't getting the time of day from me. I'm not here to deal with your shit, all right? I got plenty of my own to deal with. But if you take your top off and show me the girls, maybe I will listen to what you have to say. But shy of that, I'll just keep doing my own job. I'll say hello and then move on to what I'm paid to do, which is not deal with your nonsense. They definitely need to take a page from this guy from my other job's book.
Just be positive.
Think of your day as going pretty well, or at least relatively speaking. You have a roof over your head. One of them doesn't need to work. She lives at home and like... Whereas I've gone from shit job to shit job to shit job, trying to like cobble together enough to escape poverty. This girl has not given a rat's ass about that ever in her life. I think her family has money, and this is just, you can't be in the house every single day. Just make it look like you're trying type of a situation for her. And I know her boyfriend. Her boyfriend's the nicest dude. So you know she's not being abused or anything like that. He's like a real stand-up type of dude. Well, maybe stand-up's not the... or stand-out, whatever the saying is not the right description of the guy. Because these two, I think their problem is both of them have to be at least in their mid-20s or whatever. And they've been together for like a decade. But word has it, this man has not juked this girl. Yeah, he's apparently very religious and he's saving himself and hoping she'll save herself for marriage. And it's horseshit. They've both like walked, gone behind each other's back and had extra marital or whatever, extra relationship affairs. She got juked by some other dude, a couple dudes at work from what I understand. And he's also stepped out on her. And I'm just saying, what the hell kind of weird relationship are you two in? Pretty sure affairs are, breaking the Ten Commandments and, although it's frowned upon, juking your, future wife before she's officially your wife, probably way the hell less of a sin. Because here's how I look at it. I'm like, listen, God, if you did not want me to juke this girl before I put a ring on it, A, you shouldn't have made it so, like, women fall apart at 24, all right? And secondly, you shouldn't have created a society that evolved into a money-grubbing, blood-sucking, you really can't get ahead, rat race type of situation. If you wanted me to do it the right way, you should have, A, made me very wealthy, or B, not make this girl so tantalizing. Yeah, but this girl's one of those people where it's like, shut the hell up. Your life's not that bad, and what you're complaining about is nothing. Yeah, just try going over to one of these war-torn countries where women are property. Let's see how long you last. At that point, then I'll listen to your problems, because you're going to have some real problems after, maybe even like a four-day stint there. It's good to do Kenny Ho's show again. Another week has come and gone, one where I completely wasted it. Now that I only have one job, I have so much free time on my hands, and I've done jack and shit with it. In fact, earlier today, I was like, okay, so after a disappointing week of doing absolutely nothing, maybe today I'll get some stuff done. But at this point, I'm not, like, lying to myself. I kind of know it's not going to happen. I'm like, okay, so what can I put on my to-do list only to not do it? And I'm like, Kenny Ho Show. I'm probably going to get around to that. That's the one thing I actually get done each and every week. So here we go. What are we going to talk about today? Well, on the Kenny Ho Show, let's talk about a different Kenny for once. Hey man, you have to understand, I lead a life where nobody gives a rat's ass about me, where nobody's speaking of me in a positive light anyways. I'm sure people talk all kinds of shit about me. Only with others that also don't like me. I don't imagine these people are wasting their lives talking about me like how I do. Honestly, there are times I'm like, I've had to tell myself multiple times, you know how those people, like, you'll see them, I don't know, maybe it was on TV or maybe on the streets or whatever, but it's always been a reference point of mine, like these crazy junkies or whatever, these like hobos on the street, they're like, shut up, Because they're clearly telling the thoughts in their head to shut up. Man, I'm telling you, a couple times this week alone, I've had to be like, you know what, man, shut the hell up. I don't care. I don't care what you have to say. I got stuff I got to do. So it's not looking good. It's not looking good. Poverty has returned into old Kenny's life. My looks are fading by the day. You know, my mother's side of the family is predisposed to male pattern baldness, so I can unfortunately look forward to that horse shit in a couple years. And I'm gonna go from cray cray, which is like cutesy, you know, a cutesy way to look at mental health issues, to straight up batshit crazy, where it's like, that guy smells like urine. Looks like he shart his pants there. I don't know why I'm paying so much attention to this hobo. I mean, he's a hobo. But goddamn if he isn't charismatic. Woo! But here on the Kenny Ho Show, let's briefly talk about Kenny the Jet Smith, former NBA basketball player. I was going to say star, but he wasn't a star. He was like Patrick McCaw, you know? He was just there on good teams. That's why he has a couple rings. But he's certainly an all-star when it comes to being an NBA analyst. Much like his playing career, however, he's not as good as Shaq, and he's sure as hell not as good as Charles Barkley. But he's still very good, and I really do like him. He seems like he's a good dude in real life. But he got cocky. He made a big mistake. He forgot who he was. He forgot that it's guys like Shaq and Charles Barkley who are the marquee, the draws. He's just like riding on their shoulders. Those guys are carrying him up and down the court. He forgot that. He must have thought himself a big deal because this was years ago now. He went out there and made a superstar move. This guy is like a role player making superstar moves. He went out and got himself a model wife. He was a damn fool. That's a Kobe move. That's a Gretzky move. That's not a Kenny the Jet Smith move. You cannot be going out there dating models. Don't get me wrong. This guy still did have millions of dollars. So that does entitle him to get himself a super babe, but you gotta be smart about it. Sure, you're not settling for ratchet, bottom-rung, good-looking chicks who are always complaining about shit that aren't real issues. But the tricky part here is they're also higher-rung, less ratchet, stupid chicks who complain about everything all the time, even though they have no business doing so. And you're playing with fire when you get a model because their job is literally just look good. There's no intellect involved. There's no personality needed. And the only skill set they need is be lucky and be born with amazing genetics. I mean, sure, that sounds fun for a little bit, but you cannot be putting a ring on it. Now, don't get me wrong. This is not the most egregious sin I've ever heard of. Because at least this girl, she's actually from The Price is Right. She was a model on there. Gwen. Goddamn. The only reason I looked this up is because I was watching. And I think I looked this up a few years back, too, after I saw yet another clip of Kenny Smith's wife. I'm like, holy shit, who is that? And I believe this is not the first time I've looked her up. It's just this time I knew they had gotten divorced and I heard that she had like taken everything, like she had taken him for everything he's worth. And I was like, let me look into this and see how bad it got, like if what I'm hearing is correct. Oh, and it is true, but I'll get to that in a second. Why I say it's not the most egregious crime is because, well, she was kind of a public figure herself, so she had something to lose. She's not like some random bimbo, you know, maybe, you know, let's say something like a stripper I know Paul George married a stripper. He's a damn fool. And didn't, like, Drake knock up a stripper? These guys are idiots. Is it a street cred thing? Like, are you cool now because you've either wifed up a girl who literally makes a living taking her clothes off for strangers, and at least in Canada, you know, for a low price as, I think, maybe like 15, 20 bucks a song, you can just touch her just about anywhere. And also, then for a less low price, they'll take you to the Happy Magical Room, where you can do just about anything you want to her in exchange for cash. Oh, that sounds like such a great idea. That sounds totally like wifey material. Listen, if that's what makes you cool, consider me a square. I may not know what cool is, but that doesn't strike me as cool. That strikes me as being a goddamn fool. And in the case of Paul George, this guy walked away. He was cheating on Doc Rivers' daughter, who Seth Curry ended up marrying. Now, I don't know this girl, but just looking at her, she looks like she's a proper girl next door. She looks like she comes from pedigree, or with pedigree. However, the saying goes, she just didn't look like a skanky hoe. I don't know what streets these guys are from, but I'm going to stay far from it, because never mind their street cred, I don't want to know their street smarts, or quote-unquote street smarts, if that's the way they operate. Because as far as I'm concerned, the street smart approach to this is never ever marry the stripper. I wouldn't even date the stripper. At most, if you want to have like a 1 week fling with the stripper, well, first of all, do not kiss her on the mouth. You will definitely catch the herp derp, all right? Always keep your good jewelry at your house, and do not take her back to said house, and don't carry any cash on you. Just walk around with a credit card, because you're definitely going to get robbed when you're in the shower if you got a wallet full of cash. But I have to say, to his credit, the Jet almost got it right. He made a superstar move. He went and got himself a fly-ass model. Like, she looks so good. I saw that clip like at the back of some video the other day, and it jogged my memory. But, oh, damn, yeah, Kenny Jett does have a hot wife, or did have a hot wife, because that girl broke it off, and she took him for everything he's worth. Like, in her statement, she's like, oh, it's an amicable breakup. You know, no one's to blame. But then she goes after him for $12,000 a month in child support, and then a whopping egregious $32,000 a month in spousal support. And on top of all that, the worst part of all of this was she tried to make it about female empowerment. She's like, I'm going after him for all women. Now listen, I don't know how it works anymore, but if there are legitimate feminists out there, they would have rolled their goddamn eyes like me. I rolled my eyes so hard, they almost stayed in the back of my head permanently. I was like, oh, Moses, smell the roses. Are you serious, lady? Don't make this a female empowerment thing. Don't make this a feminist thing. You give chicks a bad name. You're going after the man because you're a greedy, disgusting, talentless hack. Don't try to make this about all women. I imagine she's probably a little bit disconnected from reality, having been, you know, a hot girl all through her life, so everything just happens for her. And she probably's been spending the past decade or so living in a gated community. But lady, you can't make this about all women, because the greater majority of women cannot relate to your issue. They are not able to go after their husbands for way the hell more money than they make per year. I imagine most women, if they're lucky, they'll be able to go after their deadbeat husbands for a little chump change for their kids. Was it last episode I talked about some dude being like, oh, you need $77,000 to survive in Toronto? I'm like, are you out of your mind? You could definitely survive on a lot less than that, and you could live pretty comfortably on about half of that. And this girl's going after, like, that guy looks like he's cool and rational in comparison, because she's going after this guy for 30 some odd thousand per month. So we're looking at over 300,000 per year just for herself. Like, you don't even factor in the kids. The kids themselves are getting over 100K in support. I'm telling you, like, my daddy did a good job. He did his best. But I can guarantee you I wasn't living a lifestyle that was costing him 100K a year. And I know there are plenty of bloodthirsty lawyers out there who will argue, and like blind quote-unquote feminists who would be like, well, she's, gotten accustomed to a certain lifestyle. Well, get unaccustomed to it. Guess what? Most women, you know, the ones you're trying to make this about, when they get divorced, they have to go back into reality and get themselves a little thing called a job. Try it sometimes. It's horrible. But maybe that's why you shouldn't have kicked this man to the curb. Because, here, I understand, I don't want to make it seem like there are no douchebag dudes out there, and the women are basically, I hate using this word, because I feel like everybody's more in charge of their lives than they take credit for. But let's use the word loosely, but victim. Some women, like, give it their 100%, you know, they're so in love with their husbands, they do everything for them and their kids and such, and then they get screwed over when the dude's like, you know what, you're looking a little fat, you're looking a little wrinkly, I hired a new secretary who reminds me of you when we first met, 20 years ago. It's been real, but let's be real. A man of my stature, I'm going to enjoy juking this girl for the next few years and then trading her in for the once again, the 20-year-old version of her. But don't worry, you'll be fine. You know, you kept the house. You seem to not mind cleaning toilets. I can get you a job at my company cleaning toilets. You'll be fine. In that situation, don't get me wrong, that son of a bitch should be paying 30 grand a month. But this girl said it herself. It's an amicable breakup. It's a mutual decision. In that situation, you walk away and move on with your life. You can't be like, I'm not in love with this man anymore, but I sure do still love his money. You can't have your cake and eat it too. I'm not saying stay in a loveless relationship, but I am saying, get the hell out and then, like, go get a job. See, that's the thing, right? That's the element of playing with fire when you get yourself a trophy wife. When you get a model who, for the most part, have a shelf life of a maybe 10 years. And in the case of the Jet, he did wipe this girl out for like 12 years or something. So you've wiped out her whole prime. So even if she wanted to go back to work, which more than likely her hoe ass doesn't, you're shit out of luck, bud. She really can't go back to work. You know, she might have, you know, one gig here and there selling, like, adult diapers and such, but I can't imagine that pays the bills. In that situation, like, he did the crime, now he's gotta do the time. Like, he got to, you know, get 12 years of her at her hottest, so those must have been a fun 12 years. So I feel like he does need to pay her and, you know, like, give her some kind of stipend, but 33 grand a month is ridiculous. If I'm the judge and I'm not a stuck-up prick, which is highly unlikely, they seem to go hand in hand, but if I'm the rare judge who's not a complete dickhead, I would throw this case right out. I would look at it and be like, you think you need over 300 grand a year to get by? Go live in a regular neighborhood. and shop at regular stores. You ever heard of Walmart? No, seriously? What, you like Paris Hilton? Oh, you two went to school together? Whatever, you're shopping from this mystical store you never heard of anymore, and you're gonna, you know what, groceries are there now, so yeah, you're gonna just buy your shit from there. You could drive a regular car and live in a regular house. And guess what? Despite what all your douchebag friends say and think, it's okay to wear the same clothes over and over again. And if you do need to buy some new clothes, it's okay to buy them out of season. You'll save yourself a bundle. You see old Kenny over there? Well, that guy hasn't bought clothes that were in season in about three lifetimes now, when he was an enterprising opium den owner and had do-re-mi to piss away.
Oh, Western hat goes very well with Western musket. Dance, quacker.
Now, even though that sounds like the best time to leave it at that, I'm not planning on doing two Kenny Ho shows this week. You never know if halfway through the week I'm like, oh, I've done nothing productive this week. Let me do another Kenny Ho show because that's, quote-unquote, productive. It's so crazy. I was listening to Tell 'Em Steve Dave the other day, and I don't know why this never struck me before, but it is completely possible. And it is, in the case of this podcast, their podcast, not my podcast, that a show can be so big, it's the ad revenue that can draw them into doing a new episode. Like, weekly episodes are done not out of love, not out of passion, although I feel like that's part of it. But what's keeping them on track is they've got ads. I don't know if it was this week or last week or the week before or something, but they legit did an episode because they had ads and they wanted to cash in. Which, again, it's nothing wrong with that. If I'm in their position, I'm doing the exact same thing, but I just never thought of it like that. I'm like, oh no, you have to do an episode per week. That's just the unwritten rule of podcasting. But then if you really think about it, it doesn't really matter if you do a brand new episode each and every week, because a lot of people don't listen to it right away. Well, in the case of the Kenny Ho Show, most people just don't listen to it ever. But certainly, I imagine there's plenty of podcasts on this planet who do get the hits, but not always right away. You know, people are busy with work. Jooking girls. Jooking guys. Juking something in between. I don't know, it beats me. I've got nothing going on in my life. I'll listen to those Tell 'Em Steve Daves every time they drop. The moment I find out there's a new one, I am on it. So hopefully someday the Kenny Ho Show will get to the point where I can sell out. And even when I don't enjoy doing the Kenny Ho Show, which again, I hope there never comes a day that I don't enjoy doing the Kenny Ho Show, but if the day comes, I hope it's still going to happen each and every week, because by doing so, I make a shitload of cash. Enough for me to buy an opium den with. Oh! Podcaster loser? I don't think so. But I digress. What I wanted to talk about was the late, great Princess Diana. I think it's because the movie's coming out pretty soon, starring the chick from, what's that movie called? The Twilight, Kristen Stewart or something? She's the Kristen I don't care about. So I'm not going to watch that movie, even though I find Lady Diana to be very fascinating. And I caught, like, the back end of, like, a CNN documentary about her life. And, wow, I've totally forgot how good-looking and stunning she was. I mean, I didn't think anything of it when I was a kid, when she was alive. I was just, like, sitting there with my novelty-sized lollipop and my pinwheel or whatever hat, being like, "Wee, I'm so happy! I know I'm gonna be happy like this all of my life!" But I remember a few years ago, again, seeing some kind of like documentary with her in it, probably like on the anniversary of her death or something like that, and being like, damn, she was so good looking. At the time, I just said when she was young, when she was like dating or whatever the hell that was, being purchased by Prince Charles or whatever, I just remember being like, goodness gracious, she looked, when she was young, she looked like this girl I had a huge crush on when I was like in between high school and theater school. I met this actress chick, and at the time, she was the most beautiful woman or girl I'd ever met. She's still up there. She's still really pretty. But imagine a young Princess Diana. That's what she looked like. And so I just remember saying, God damn, she was really good looking. And then I turned and looked at Charles. I'm like, what, is guy never young or something like that? Like, what was he, 45 here? But then it turns out he was probably like 28 years old. I'm like, you could have fooled me. 45, he looks good for 45, but 28, my goodness, what happened to you, man? You got big ears, bad teeth, and a giant schnauzer, and you look about 20 years older than you actually are, bud. I guess it makes sense, because you know how royals, they only get in bed with other royals. Well, not get in bed, I'm sure there's a lot of like joking of maids and just like, you know, fair maidens across the land, right? But, you know, at the end of the day, settling down and getting married, royals only marry royals. So at some point, that gene pool is very, very exclusive and very, very small. Meaning, you know, a lot of these royals, they're shacking up with their own cousins, right? This is why you shouldn't do it. Look at this man. That's 28. I feel like he looked 28 when he was 3 years old. Don't joke your cousin, guys. But last night, watching this documentary, I'm like, holy crap. Even after the divorce, so I imagine she was like in her late 30s, early 40s or something like that. You know, Princess Di was still looking great. Like, she was wearing, like, of course, the face, everybody knows her face, you know, beautiful, you know, like, standard for what royals should look like type of face. And then what I didn't realize was she was, like, in all these, like, stunning dresses. She was in these stunning, magnificent dresses. And there were, you know, the girls were pretty nice. I know it's disrespectful to say something like this, but, you know, I don't mean any harm and rudeness, but Princess Diana had some nice hooters. She really is as good as it gets when it comes to the royals, right? Outside of Queen Amidala, this is, like, the royal, right? Like, Meghan Markle, come on, get out of here. Doesn't she come from trash? And her family's also trash? Yes, that was a slight at Suits, even though I've never seen the show. And then the other one, was it Kate or something? Basic bitch, right? I'm telling you, seeing like those images of Princess Diana last night, I was like, woo! If I were a tough boy, if I were a stud myself, I'd take a run at her. I mean, like, you know, if she were alive, I don't mean like the ghost version of her. But then again, she would be like, what? Like 60 now, and you know, I'm sure she'd age gracefully, but I'm not trying to, you know, joke no grandmas, you know, and she'd legit be a grandma. Like, don't all her kids have kids now? But I'm telling you, in an alternative world where I'm friggin' handsome, Kenny Ho, and she were like in her 30s, I'm taking a shot. Why? Because during the documentary, like, we all know at the end of the day, she was with the Dodi Al-Fayed guy. It's with him that she crashed and died from the paparazzi chasing them. But it turns out she had other lovers. Like, I think the first one was the dude who's rumored to be Harry's dad because he's a redhead. Like a security, like a bodyguard dude. Which, you know, whatever. I don't remember what he looks like, but he was like a bodyguard dude. I'm assuming he was kind of like a fit, rugged dude. I understand. You know, it's like, you know, I understand. I pity the poor girl. She had to sleep with this guy who looked like, the opposite of an immortal vampire, which is always young, always looks the same. This guy looked like a grandpa from the time he was 22 years old all the way until now that he is a legitimate grandpa. What I'm trying to say is he probably wasn't shagging her right. I mean, after all, he was really into that old bag, Camilla Bowles. And she looked like if you shook her a little bit, she would disintegrate into dust. But then her next lover, or at least I think her next lover, I guess was just after the divorce or whatever. And it was really rough. It was tough. I'm like, Lady Di, I thought so highly of you. I remember having my giant lollipop and pinwheel hat and thinking, someday I'm going to have a beautiful wife like Lady Diana. What's dying alone? The dude she was with, I think he was like a surgeon, so he probably had money. But outside of that, he had nothing else. I imagine she had money, right? Like she didn't, even if she didn't get her $33,000 a month for spousal support, she didn't need it. I'm pretty sure she was a royal or something. Like she's part of the royal family. She wasn't a commoner before she got married. So I'm sure she had money. And unlike Gwen from Price is Right, this girl had legitimate skills. I think she was like a kindergarten teacher or something before then. She could have got by is what I'm trying to get at.
She's an independent woman. She don't need no man. Mm-hmm.
But it had to have been the money. It had to have been some like daddy issue or something, because this guy looked like shit. This guy, like, never mind dad bod. This guy had like Jabba bod. Now, this guy definitely didn't have the hourglass figure. He just had boulder figure. He was just like a round dude with a dirty pervert stash. I'm like, I can't believe you got to juke Princess Diana. My goodness. And I'm noticing it more and more as I get older, that the hot girls don't always choose the hot dudes. The hot girls oftentimes choose dudes where it's like, you're making a mistake. Something is wrong with you. Why can't I be your mistake? Why can't I meet Kristen Crook and have her trash psyche play into my favor for once, where she's like, oh my goodness, this guy is not handsome, no money, no prospects of money, his podcast is gonna get me canceled, hubba hubba. I tell everybody now, I'm like, you should always take a shot. I don't care how hot the girl is and how traditionally, you know, out of your league she is. Take a goddamn shot. Now, be smart about it. Be respectful. Don't get yourself arrested on, like, some sort of sexual harassment, sexual assault case. But take a shot. Because you never know. Because sure, there are definitely shallow people out there. I'm one of them. But there are definitely girls out there who won't date you if you don't have money, who won't date you if you're not good looking, who won't date you if you're not a combination of both. But you don't want to deal with those hoes anyway. But to be fair, you don't know which one is which. Or usually you don't. You could run into like 100 of those and have them all shut you down. But all it takes is you meet that one hot girl who, you know, if you want to be nice about it, you say she has exquisite taste. If you want to be real, real and harsh about it, you say there's something wrong with her. But hey, she's laying next to me now. That's her problem. Because I got plenty of examples like that. I don't know. Yeah, what the hell? Let's get into it a little bit. Like when I was a male model looking dude, like Korean pop star looking type of dude, there are no hot, you know, like 19-year-olds, 20, 21-year-old girls who are into me, just old bags, right? Like, I was getting turned down left, right, and center at theater school. Like, the stereotype that actors are whores, I know for a fact there's validity to it. I thankfully never took part in any of it, but I definitely heard my fair share of recounts of you know, what happened the night before when this group of actors got together or that group of actors got together, whether it's just a bunch of girls in a makeout circle with each other or this person, you know, doing something with her mouth on this other guy's, you know, pee-pee, and then these two hooking up in a bathroom, and these ones hooking up in somebody's bed. But despite the place dripping with floozies, ain't none of the hot girls were ever into young, beautiful Kenny. It wasn't until I got into radio school, which was like, I don't know, like 4 or 5 years later, and I was plenty damaged by then. I was kind of a shitty person because of all the horse shit I'd been through. And it's true, people make people, but people break people. And I was broken at that point. And it affected me physically. I didn't look nearly as good as I did as an actor. But yet here I was, like, dealing with three or four, like, 19, 20-year-old girls, and they weren't, like, schlubs themselves. These were, like, high-end girls who cut themselves, or girl who cut herself. And, like, a year after that, at my fattest, because, you know, all that damage had, you know, taken its toll, and then you combine the fact that Cutter Girl kicked me to the curb, I was, like, I started drinking and became alcoholic ugly and alcoholic fat. Yet, again, I had at least three or four sure things ready to go. One was definitely a practice girl. One was like, you can't. That's a, oh, let's have a riveting good time for maybe, you know, a week or two. And then you move on from that type of girl. But there's two where they were pretty good. Not Cutter Girl good, but pretty good. And like one of them, a perfect example of what I'm talking about. When I met this girl, Christine, I was like, oh man, she's so cute. I'll never be able to get her. A year later, I'm sitting in front of her at a bar, you know, like crying. Well, not crying, but, you know, like emotionally venting about the whole Cutter Girl situation and being like, you know what, I'm so fat, I gotta get in shape so, you know, I can get me a new girl and get over Cutter Girl. And this girl, Christine, was like, didn't miss a beat. She was like, oh, I only like bigger guys. And I just looked at her, I'm like, that's great, like, you're cool. And then I just kept going about my business. And then, like, a year later, I'm like, oh, I think she meant, like, I'm into you, Kenny. I'm into big guys. I'm only into you because you're big. But that was definitely the case. You know, that example I figured out a year later. But I definitely knew from other examples, like, soon after, she was down to clown. And this girl, man, you know, she was cute in the face, but that body was so crazy. Like, to this day, she definitely has the nicest pair of Hooters I have ever come across in my life, right? I'm telling you, I was at my physical and emotional and mental worst. And yet, this girl was easily like 7 in the face, but like a 21 in the body, right? You always have to take your shot. Again, be respectful of it. I'm referring to the woman as it in this case. No. Be respectful of the girl. Be respectful of her when making your move. But you always got to take that chance because you don't know. You don't know what she's into and you don't know what she's not into. Who would have ever thought Princess Diana would have went for this like circular man? This guy looks like Super Mario from Super Mario Brothers, but he gave up. Yes. The chubby plumber guy who was already not exactly, you know, the peak of male physique. This guy looked like that dude if he gave up. A screw of the mushrooms. I'm just going to eat the meat, the pizza every day now. And the craziest part of the story was he turned her down. It wasn't like Princess Di was like, oh, it was fun, you know. Because maybe they had an emotional relationship. Maybe it wasn't a physical relationship. Maybe it was like like they would talk about doing stuff. He would say things like,
"A princess, a toadstool, give me that parasol. Oh, don't you worry what I'm going to do with it."
But then he never does it because he would have a heart attack if he tried to reach for the parasol and then open it.
He's like, "Oh, princess, I would do these things to you, these dirty, dirty things to you, if I could just see my toes."
But my goodness, at the end of the day, I don't know what, like, I think he was a married man, maybe that was the issue, but that'd be worse if it wasn't. Like, at least if this guy was married to Princess Toadstool.
He's like, you know, I've been with her since 1982, I can't just throw that away. A whole damn franchise depends on it.
And then Princess Di is like, "You're not actually Mario. What are you doing?" But shy at that, like, if he was single and he was just like,
"Nah, it was nice."
Oh, is that where Borat comes from? Like, he was also doing, like, a Super Mario impression. And then he also ended up on, "It's nice." Because if that's the case, this guy's a damn fool. Paul George needed to walk away from that stripper. Drake needed to walk away from that stripper. And the Jet needed to walk away from his Price is Right trophy wife. But this dude needed to go over to the People's Jewelers and get himself the biggest rock he can afford, hop on some Goombas, and ring Lady Di up. He's not doing better. Like, how he even did it in the first place is unbelievable. But he sent her packing. He's like, "Oh, I don't know. It was a nice time, but try not to let the door hit you on the ass, there, princess." And then the next part of the documentary almost made me throw up. Because she got, like, an invite for some yacht trip from, what is his name, Mohammed Al-Fayed, you know, one of the 7 million Mohammeds you would meet, you know, from Brown Town over there. It's like a solid 8 out of 10 Muslims that you meet. I think they're Muslims. They'll be named Mohammed because everybody thinks their son's like a holy warrior or something. But that's still, considerably speaking, way more original than the Tibetans, where 10 out of 10 people you meet, whether it's a guy or a girl, they're all named Tenzin. This is why you're China's bitch. Yo, mix in a Steve or a Britney sometimes. Hell, name your kid after whatever the hell Elon Musk named his, right? 0xMC squared to the power of 4, whatever the hell that kid's named. It's a good thing his daddy's really rich. He ain't ever gonna get teased because those guys will end up at the bottom of the Brooklyn River. But I digress. The photo, like, I don't remember how this, how the story went and how, like, you know, her lover looked. After seeing, like, I figured, you know, whatever, she's only into good-looking guys. She had to marry Charles because he's the goddamn prince, right? Every little girl wants to find Prince Charming. She got close. She got Prince Charles, just not Prince Charming. But she's only into good-looking guys. But after, like, seeing her in the, you know, par with COVID-150 Super Mario there, all bets were off, man. Like, they showed a picture of some old dude, like some fat old dude, you know, bald, basically. You know how, like, some old guys have, you know, just that little bit of hair in the back of their head, like the Homer hair. Hey, man, it's adorable on Homer. You look like a damn fool if you're anyone else but, right? I mean, this Muhammad guy was so rich, he could literally have a guy on retainer who's only job is to shave that little hair off his back and maybe like bust out the turtle wax and shine up that head. Get that Mr. Clean shimmer, if you will. But he had his arms wrapped around her. I'm like, oh my goodness, lady. I understand, like, you're trying to get back at your ex-husband who's like porking on a grandma. Like, they showed like an image of Camilla Bowles at her 50th birthday party that he threw for her. I'm like, that bitch is 50? Holy shit, man. I kid you not, if someone told me, oh no, she's 65, she's ready for retirement, I would have believed them. This girl did not look 50. She looked like someone rolled her out of the home, like put her in a dress to take her to this birthday party. Like, that is rough. It baffles me. It really baffles me that this dude would marry a girl as hot as Lady Di, but then, like, his side piece was this disgusting, beat-up old catcher's mitt. You can't do it like that. That's not how it works. You're supposed to, you know, this guy's not handsome enough to be a he-bitch, but if you're a he-bitch and you get, you know, like, some, like, granny money or whatever, you wash away those sins by having, like, the most smoking hottest side piece ever. This guy went from, like, a 12 out of 10 as his wife and a 1 out of 150, which is roughly her age, I gotta assume, or at least what she looked like. You can't. This is why she had to die young. This is why Lady Di had to go. Because this man, he broke the pact. By breaking the pact that every man on earth had with the good Lord above, he threw everything into chaos. He threw all of nature out of whack. And that's why they had to take an angel. It's all on him at the end of the day. That big ear, grandma loving son of a bitch. All right, that's it. That's episode 330 of the Kenny Ho Show. That's a wrap. I'll talk to you next time. Toodles!